Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim, daf Tzadi. We're on Pei Tes Amud Aleph, and we're starting on the Mishnah. There are two Mishnahs on the daf. We're going to start from the middle Mishnah, the first Mishnah on the that presents itself on the Amud, Ha'omer Levanov. So you say the following to your sons. These are a continuation of the Mishnahs that we are doing in the 8th Perek that continues discussing some of the halachos of Karban Pesach. So you say the following to your sons. Arini Shochet is a Pesach. So let's have a foot race. We have to go to Yerushalayim. And he wants to motivate his children. So he says, look, first one in. That young man is going to get the Karban Pesach. And what it sounds like in the Mishnah is that he's going to get the Karban Pesach. And how is everyone else going to be eating the Karban Pesach? They'll be eating from his portion. Something along those lines. So says the Mishnah, the first one in actually gets the Karban Pesach. And his brothers are going to get a chalik of his Karban Pesach. Adkan Divrei Mishnah, sounds very clear from the Mishnah that he won, therefore he gets the Karban Pesach. What about the brothers? Okay, they somehow are going to be eating his Karban Pesach. So Shema Mina Yesh Beira, so the Gemara says it sounds like this, that we have to subscribe to the rule of Beira. Meaning because a simple pshat in the Mishnah is that only one of his children are going to be Nisnamna, are going to be registered over the Karban Pesach. And it's not going to be this entire household. Now, I know the Gemara just a couple days ago said that Sela Bayis, that there's one sheep for every house, and we did point out that they children, this is yesterday's Dafa, that we came across this idea, and that the children of Nisnamna, they are registered over the Karban Pesach without consent. They don't need consent. They're just simply part of the father. So it's a little bit difficult to understand why the Gemara automatically assumed only one of them is going to be Nisnamna over the Karban Pesach. Okay, but that's a Havamina. The Havamina of the Gemara is that only one of them is Nisnamna. So I'm Rav Yochan, Kedei Lazarus B'mitzvos Kamar. So Rav Yochan says, no, you totally missed the pshat in the Mishnah. No, of course, the son who won the race is not the only one who is registered over the Karban Pesach. And the others are just simply going to get his portion. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is going to be that that really they're all in this Nisnamna, they're all going to be registered over the Karban Pesach. Dad is going to have all of them included, and all this is just by way and means of motivation. Dad just spoke in a eloquent fashion, somewhat a hyperbolic fashion, but just basically to get his kids to get excited about Karban Pesach, run to Yerushalayim. Deganami Diktani, the Gemara points out, if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see this is in fact the correct pshat in the Mishnah. Mizake Echav Imo. It says that his brothers are mizakeh, right? They're benefiting together with him. Now, Gemara makes the obvious observation, and that is that as long as we're assuming that all of them are registered, so shapir, that's perfect. So the Gemara says, but if you're going to assume that they're not registered, the Gemara says, what do you think? You're thinking we're going to register them after the shechita? In fact, we're going to learn in just a moment, next Mishnah, that once the Shechita is done, registration is closed. There is no way the kids can be registered after the Shechita. Shema Mina. So the Gemara says, so you see that it has to be that the assumption is everyone, all the children were registered over the Karban Pesach, and Dad was just doing this by way of motivation. Tanya Mihachi. The Gemara says, and look, I'll show you another Braisa that makes this exact same point. Maisa Vakidmu. Banus Lobanim. There was a year where the girls came in first, meaning Dad told the kids, let's race, and the sons didn't take it seriously, the girls took it really seriously, and the girls got there first. V'nimsa banos rizos banim shvelim. And the upshot is, the conclusion is that the girls were zaris, in other words, they showed excitement and exuberance over the mitzvah, they got there first, and the banim, they were shuffle, they were low, they were slow, they were lazy. What's the point of the braisa, meaning, and the upshot is, the Gemara is quoting this Braisa to show us that it's not the pshat what we originally thought, that the winner is the one who's going to get registered, and everyone else is going to get somehow connected to the Karban Pesach at a later point in time. That's not the pshat. The pshat, rather, is that really they're all going to get registered, and it's just a question of Dad motivating the children. Meaning, if we were right, if the Gemara's original suggestion was right, what the Braisa should have said was something along the lines of, and the girls are zoche in the Karban Pesach. And the boys, some later point in time, are going to have to, you know, somehow come on board. But the Braisa doesn't say that. The Braisa says, what do you see? You see that the daughters were more excited. They were more exuberant. That's the only conclusion, because truth be told is that all the children, sons and daughters, are nisnamna, they are registered over the Karm Pesach. Okay? Point of this whole discussion, yeah, motivate your kids. Do things which, to get them motivated and excited about mitzvos. The Mishnah gave us one example regarding Karm Pesach. La'olam nimnim alav ashu bo kezais. Okay? Minui. More on the topic of registration. Registration is a big theme throughout the 8th parak of Pesachim. So more on the topic of registration, that is, when does the window close? Meaning, when do we say no longer can anyone register? So the Mishnah gives a very clear parameter. Lolam nimnim alav. So first of all, there is not a time consideration, but there is an amount consideration. Meaning, you can have as many people register your Karm Pesach, every one of them has to be able to receive a kezias of meat. I know not that long ago we were defining what parts of the animal are meat, what parts of the animal are not meat, but however we decide what is and what isn't meat, there's obviously a limited amount of meat per every animal, and so therefore when accepting registration, you can only accept registration up to the point where everyone's going to get a kezias. Once another person comes on board, and that means that the distribution is going to be less than a kezias per registrant, that already now is too many people. So not a time consideration, but an amount consideration in terms of when the window is closed. And then the Mishnah says, not only that, but there's also a time consideration as well. The Mishnah says that once the animal shechted, that's it. That's a time consideration. Now the window is closed. No longer can anybody new come on board in this Karm Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shi Zarikas Adam. Now Rabbi Shimon says, no, Zarikas Adam is the point in which a person is allowed to register, which is the fourth process of the Avoda. Shechita being number one, Kabbalas Adam being number two, Halacha number three, Zarikas Adam is number four. Zarika, says Rabbi Shimon, is the point where people could still come on board. That's the way the Mishnah seems to present itself. The Gemara is going to modify the understanding of the Mishnah contrary to what I just suggested. My kamashmalan kamashmalan daafagav deimni alav chabur zu choser shenim alav chabur acheres. The Gemara's point out the Mishnah's point is that you can withdraw from one group and you can re-register with another group. The nimnim moshkin idem achishachir amar Abai machlokas limashach. So Abai says, don't understand the Mishnah the way I presented it. Meaning, the way I presented it, it was a question of when can we have new registrants come on to the Karm Pesach. Sounds like for the Mishnah, it's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakhama says up until the point of Shechita. Rabbi Shimon says up to the point of Zrika. Abai says no, that's not the pshat. The machlokas in the Mishnah is, at what point can you withdraw your registration? So the Chachamim of the opinion, from the time that the animal is alive, meaning your ability to register and withdraw registration is from the point that the animal is alive. Once the animal is dead, i.e. shechita, so that's it. Neither can anyone come in, nor can anyone come out. Rabbi Shimon Savar mi v'yisei deseh. Avalim knows divrei hakol achi yishachid. So I'm sorry. Mi havyasei deseh. And Rabbi Shimon, who derives from the same pasuk, understands that from the being of the sheep, meaning not from the living of the sheep, but from the being of the sheep, meaning from when the point that the avodas haseh is completed, then and only then can nobody withdraw from the Karm Pesach. But the up until the point of Zrikas Adam, you still are, it's still a seh, it's still a sheep, granted it's dead, but the avodah has not been completed, and therefore people can withdraw. That's withdrawal of registration. Avalim knows, but when it comes to the actual registration for people coming in, there's no discussion, there's no question. Shechita is the end of registration. Because look, how does the Torah describe it? Michsas nefashos, the count of the people, meaning that's registration. And then it says tachosu. And as we've discussed time and again, the word tachosu means to shecht. So in other words, you accept the registrations up to what point? Up to the point of tachosu, which is the point of shechita. Tanya Mehacha, the Gemara points out that Abaye is can be substantiated by a Braisa. The Braisa starts off with a position of the Tanakama, which is a point of registration and withdrawal of your registration is both at the point of Shechita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimnimachi Yishachet, Umoshchinachi Zarikdam, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees, but read carefully. How does Rabbi Shimon disagree? When it comes to the withdrawal, when it comes to registration, he agrees that the window is closed at the point of Shechita. When it comes to withdrawal from your registration, if you decide, I'd like to move to a different Chabura, so you may do so even after Shechita. You may do so up to the point of Zrika. Not much of a difference between Shechita and Zrika, but still, you have that as extra minutes in order to withdraw your registration based on the drasha that the Gemara gave previously. Okay? So in other words, according to Abaye, for registering over the Karban Pesach, there is no machlokas. Simply no machlokas. Everyone agrees that you could register up to the point of Shechita. In terms of withdrawing your registration, that's the machlokas in our Mishnah. Between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, Tanakam says Shechita, Rabbi Shimon says Zrika Zadam. Assumption would be that we go like the Tanakam, that the Shechita is going to be the point of both, the deadline for both registration and withdrawal of the registration. We turn the Amud, we're now on Pei Tesamun Beis, really enjoyable sugya coming up, something that's both halacha and going to be a little bit humorous as well, and that's the following. You're sitting down for your Karban Pesach, you have a group with you. Let's assume this illustrious group decides that we're going to all get together to eat Karban Pesach, and then everyone's observing that one member of our group seems to be enjoying the Karban Pesach maybe a little too much, and eating it a little too quickly, and really taking away from our Karban Pesach, or more chutzpahdik than that, a member of our illustrious group decides that he invited other people to come into our Karban Pesach. So in other words, without consulting with us, he invited other guests. What do we do with such a situation? Now it is interesting, in other words, those other guests that are being invited by one of our registrants. So he has a right to bring in new people? Sounds like from the Mishnah he does. Meaning, well, I guess you could have argued. Right. Then they'll have to register. The only way you can eat Karban Pesach is through Minui. It's through registration. But maybe you could have argued that. Yeah, correct. Right. That the only way you could really register is only if you speak to the Balha Behema, right? The owner of the Karban. We'll talk about that later this morning, that there's such a concept of the owner of the Karban, although Karban really is ownerless. But in other words, one can make the argument that that's the only person that you can register with. But I guess we'll say something along those lines, meaning that this is going to be like a sub-registration, meaning I'm registering under one of the registrants. Fine. Let's assume. I mean, the Mishnah is going to be discussing it. So let's assume that that works. And so therefore, the question is as follows. So here we have a guy that we invited as part of our chabura, but instead of now becoming one guy now has just multiplied and became three guys. So now what do we do with that individual and his two new attachments? So the Mishnah discusses this very case, and later we'll discuss the original scenario that I painted. What if we find this guy just eating way too fast and way too much? Okay. So here we go. A member of our group now not only joins us for the Karban Pesach, but has two other people that we never saw coming, who sub-registered under this guy, and now joined our group. We were a group of, let's say, 10. Now it turns out that it's him plus two others, and we're looking at him, and we never knew. He never asked us if he could bring those two additional people. And now with those two new additional people, obviously now that means less Karban Pesach for every member of the Chabura. So the Mishnah says, here's what we're allowed to do. We could basically shech the Karban Pesach, divide the Karban Pesach, and say to him as follows. Here, this is your portion, meaning we're going to assume that there were 10. You're going to get 1/10 of the Karban Pesach. You'll take your 1/10 of the Karban Pesach. You'll take your two people that you brought on board, and you go into another room, and you'll eat Karban Pesach over there. Now, basic question, which we dealt with the past couple days, right? Can you eat the Karban Pesach in two different locations? So that was a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Let's assume, Rashi says it right here in the Mishnah, that it can be done. Meaning that you can eat the Karban Pesach in two separate locations. You yourself are confined or limited to one place. You can't change your makom, but Karban Pesach is nechab based by chaburus. It can be eaten in two different groups, in two different homes, in two different locations. Fine. So, but basically the upshot of our Mishnah is, you get your piece. We didn't know you were bringing two extra people. Fine, they sub-registered under you. You'll get your portion, and you and your friends go there, eat, enjoy your Karban Pesach over there. Good. Yeah, the Mishnah is only focusing on Karban Pesach because of this idea of minui, of registration. Meaning it could very well be, look, the Gemara is going to adopt this whole discussion for a regular meal, which we'll get to later in the Gemara. So I assume that we could take this whole discussion, this whole concept, and move it to other areas of communal eating. It just happens to be that it's a more, it's a more relevant discussion of Karban Pesach, because by Karban Pesach there's this idea of registration. So I know going in basically how many people are going to be eating there. And now they introduce two new people, that obviously is going to throw a wrench in the whole meal. Ibailo, good. The Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. The Mishnah brings no dissenting opinion. The Mishnah says when a person invites on his own two more people, I say two, it doesn't have to be two, but when he invites more people into our chabura, so at that point we have the right to say to him, you didn't consult with us, you didn't ask us, you and your friends will eat elsewhere, we'll give you your portion, meaning you, the one person, we'll give you your portion of Karban Pesach, and you'll divide it amongst your little group over there. But you and your friends cannot diminish from our portion of the Karban Pesach. Ad kan divrei ha-Mishnah. The Mishnah is very clear. Ibayiluhu, the Gemara now engages in the following discussion. B'nei chabur sh'ayadav sh'alecha mehem yafos. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the issue which I raised back in the beginning of the Mishnah. Let's say he didn't bring in new members of the group, but he's a one-man wrecking machine. He is a fresser. And for those of you who don't speak the Yiddish language, like me, for example, it simply means he's got an excellent appetite and he knows how to eat. So, but here's the problem. The problem is we're all sitting together and we're all eating at what we would call a regular pace. And here's the guy absolutely destroying the Karban Pesach, meaning eating at his pace. His pace is an accelerated pace. And now, based on his rate of consumption, we're now losing on Karban Pesach. So at this point, it's great. Such a great discussion. So at this point, can we basically say to him, either A, slow down, or B, how about this? Here's your portion. Okay, you can eat it however fast, whatever pace you want. Here's your portion. Why don't you go over there, eat over there. So that's the Gemara's question. Gemara has such a delicate and wonderful way of describing this individual. His hands are nice. Right? You got to speak Gemara. You got to know when the Gemara is speaking in euphemism. His hands are nice. It means that he's a fresser. So can we say to him, here's your portion, you go out. Now, can he come back and counter and say, look, gentlemen, you know me. So in other words, when you accepted me as part of the group, you accepted me for who I am. And I am a fresser. And so therefore, can he make that counter argument, which is, you knew what you were getting into when you invited me, right? This is me, and you accepted me. Or is our argument of course we accepted you, but only l'saken zvicha, to so to say to fix the karban, meaning to participate in Karban Pesach and to eat the way we eat. But we didn't accept you to be eating at such an accelerated rate where you're going to be eating more and we're going to be eating less. No, not under those terms. So in other words, basically, who has the right of way? Does the fact that he was accepted, allow him to argue, he accepted me with all my mannerisms and my eating mannerism? Or is their argument really the principal argument, which is no? Of course we accepted you, but to eat like us, not to eat like you. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's see. So let's see if we can come to a conclusion on this question. So obviously the Mishnah that most relates to this discussion is our Mishnah, but it's not exactly the same. But first let's see our Mishnah again. What does our Mishnah describe? A guy who brings in two more people, three more people into the Karban Pesach. So what does the Mishnah say? Flatly, here's your portion. You and your friends now can go eat elsewhere, but you're not eating with us because you and our friends are diminishing from our portion. So my time of good. So in other words, the Gemara is now thinking, this is going to answer our question. My time alam mishum to have a lay ki adam shalachamem yafos. Because is this not any different than the gluttonous individual? Where because he's bringing in more people, so that means that he's going to be eating at an accelerated rate. Understood, that's not really the issue. The issue is that because there are more people, they're just going to be eating more. But still the point is essentially the same. He's going to take away from us. He has no right to take away from us. So therefore we give him his portion. The Isak Adach, just give me a moment. Isak Adach Yadav Yafos Matzi Amaluka built in Nehave Haiki Yadav Yafos. So the and maybe his argument is, look, meaning that's me. that's who I am. I'm the guy who invites other people. In other words, obviously the Mishnah does not buy into such an argument. So what the Gemara is trying to now express is, or trying to argue, same thing regarding the guy who eats at an accelerated pace. Meaning his argument of, hey, it's me, that's just simply the way I eat, is not a valid argument. And therefore, much like in our Mishnah, we basically say, here's your portion, you take your portion, you go there. So similarly, for the guy that's a fresher, we can do the same thing. The Gemara notes the obvious difference. Amre lo, deos shani. The obvious difference is as follows. For him to come along and say, this is me, maybe that's a legitimate argument. For him to come along and say, hey, I'm bringing two new guys? Are you kidding? You didn't ask us if you could bring two new guys. So in other words, you're introducing new members to the group when you didn't ask us to bring? And what's the problem with that? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Deo Shani Rashi, a little higher up than where we are in the Gemara. So number one, bringing in new members, what could that do? So number one, explains Rashi, it could delay the meal. Meaning we were expecting a 2-hour seuda, maybe even a 3-hour seuda. More people, look, when you have large meals, it slows the meal down. Now, that's an inconvenience. And it happens to be for Karban Pesach, there could be another consideration as well, which we all are familiar with, and that is, Karban Pesach has to be finished by midnight, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's one problem. Rashi continues, V'lo mishum achila yisera sela, afilu lo achli kulu, el kechagavra matzim ha'akvi alahu. I'm sorry, Rashi only gives the explanation of, it'll delay and protract the meal, and no one has the right to do that. No, meaning no one can bring new people on board, which would delay and protract the meal. Another possible consideration, which is brought down by Tosfos, is that if you're bringing new people into the group that we didn't okay and we didn't approve, quite frankly, may not work. In other words, it just may not be a good social structure, and it may simply not work. In other words, we'll say here is your portion, you go and take your new friends, your sub-registrants, and you go elsewhere for the simple reason that we just don't want, you didn't ask us to bring in these people, and we don't want these people for, again, it could be a variety of reasons. Prolonging of the meal, dissent amongst the eaters, fine. But we have not yet resolved our question of, he's not bringing in new people, he's just bringing in his appetite, which happens to be a serious appetite. Right. Yeah.
Those two new sub-registrants are the add-ons. Do they fulfill the mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach with the
Mishnah, we discussed this before, the Mishnah makes it sound like, yeah, they do. Meaning, even though they're sub-registrants.
Right.
Meaning, that's what I suggested in the beginning of the Mishnah. You could very easily argue, no, you only register if you speak to the leader of the...
But are they considered part of the Minyano?
The answer is yes, and I'm not sure why. I raised that in the Mishnah. I don't know why they're considered menuyav, that they're considered automatically as registrants, but they are. That's
each registrant is supposed to get equal portion in general?
Generally, yes. That's the assumption. The assumption is that when you register, you're going to get an equal portion. Amelo Deoshani. The E Nami Tarvaike Chad me bne chabura had achli mate amrele de lo nichla inish nuchra gabon. Okay, and the Gemara says, we just don't want another person with us, that's all. Okay, so we haven't resolved our question. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Hashem Shach Kazai's Basa Bitsalatani Maya Pikech Mimali Kris Mimenu Imrats Bene Chabura Lasas Tova Imo Bain Vyosh Mitsidova Ochlin Divre Rabbi Yehuda. We go back to a mission that we did just a couple days ago, or maybe it was just as recently as yesterday, where the Mishnah described the following. Again, let's go review. We have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, wherever you eat the Karban Pesach, that's where you are. Meaning you're confined to that makom. That's the place you are. So here we have now a member of the Chabura, and he was the one who was attending to the grill. And what he did, without much thought, is that he took a bite of Karban Pesach right there by the grill. And now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you started eating there, that's your makom. That's the place where you're going to eat. Now the rest of the group can simply take the rest of the Karban Pesach and take the Karban Pesach to the dining room and eat the Karban Pesach in the dining room. And the Mishnah says, if they want to be nice to this guy, they can all set up their table right by the grill and eat right by the grill. But they don't have to. They have every right to take the rest of the Karban Pesach and go to the dining room table and eat the Karban Pesach at the dining room table. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And again, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. So, Ratzu in la Ratzu lo. So the Gemara says, they don't have to eat by this guy. It's an option they may, but they don't have to. Via my name Elohu, Haka Biltun. And can't this guy, meaning this guy who took a bite of the Karban Pesach right by the grill, can't he say, you accepted me. What are you going to do? You're going to leave me now? You're going to go to the dining room? You accepted me. So the Gemara, but the Gemara gives the obvious response and the obvious distinction. And so there, they have a very legitimate counter argument, which is, yes, of course we accepted you as part of the Chabura, but not that we're going to have to uproot ourselves, upend ourselves, and move from where we were expecting to eat, which was like people at the table in the dining room, and now to eat outside by the grill just because you decided to take a bite of the Karban Pesach by the grill, and you shouldn't have done that, and you did that, and we don't have to be subject to the location that you decided that we're going to eat simply because you ate the Karban Pesach over there. So again, we haven't really resolved our question. Our question is, what about the glutton? Can we say to the glutton, hey, slow down, or here is your portion, you go eat elsewhere? So here we have a braisa, it's a tosefta, and the braisa could not say it any clearer. The braisa says that if I have a bnei chabur where one of them was yadav yafos, again, a beautiful hand, delicate hands, it's euphemism. It means he has an appetite. So Rishayim Lomar Tochal Kachavitzei. So the Braisa says it clearly, which is, here's your portion. You enjoy your Karban Pesach. You can eat it however fast you want, but that's it. This is what you're getting. And then the Braisa says, and by the way, this is not specific to Karban Pesach. This halacha of, we're having a communal meal, and one guy decides that he's going to eat twice as fast as everybody else, three times as fast as everybody else, even if it's not a Karban Pesach context, we have the right to say to him, hey, here's your portion, go find somewhere else to eat. So the Gemara says, good, done, really discussion over. Meaning we raised a question, we tried to be medayik from our Mishnah, from a previous Mishnah, we couldn't make the proper deal, but when all said and done, we have a tosefta. And by the way, this style of the Gemara is one which we see time and again, meaning could we have not just quoted the tosefta in the very beginning, which responds to the question directly and flatly, and have not gone through those mishnayos? Of course we could have done that, but you know the process of the Gemara, sometimes it's like trial and error, that we want to try to see if we could tease out the halacha from a mishnah, and so therefore it's just a style that we get familiar with. It's just we see it again and again. Okay, Adkan, good. That ends our discussion. One last point, which the Gemara just wants to spend a couple more lines discussing. What was the second part of that brisa? My velo owed. So what was the brisa telling us with not only that, but listen to this, like we're going to make a larger point. So the Gemara says, Lomi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, look, the brisa is telling us, and it's a style of Lomi bai Pesach, the Matzah Amrle, Kika bin Chalat Kuriz Vicha. Look, by the Karban Pesach, we have such a strong argument that we can make to him. And that is, Karban Pesach. Mitzvati Karban Pesach. Yes, we accepted you. But as an equitable shareholder of the Karban Pesach, and as an equitable consumer of the Karban Pesach, of course. But you're going to eat more than us? You're going to eat more Karban Pesach than us? No. Not under those terms. So there, that's a very strong argument because we're eating, talking about the context of Karban Pesach, mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach. But if we're having just a communal meal, why are we having a communal meal? Tzavsa ba'alma. Because I enjoy your company, you enjoy my company. You know, sometimes on Shabbos, there's the difference between hachnas and zorachim, right? Inviting guests who need to be invited, and okay, we have friends, we enjoy each other's company, which is nice, meaning there's nothing wrong with it. But in other words, sometimes we just have to know the difference. Know the difference between Tzav Saba Alma, company, which we enjoy having, and Hachnas Sorchim, the mitzvah of inviting people who sometimes we may not even want, but there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah to do so. So the Gemara says, Tzav Saba Alma, if it's just company, I'm enjoying their company, Hu Rishayin Lamar L'Toch Chalkecha. Even in that circumstance, we still by right can say to him, look, we enjoy you, we enjoy your company, but we have this shared meal, we have this communal meal, you really can't eat that fast because you're taking away from us. So even under those circumstances, we by right can basically say to him, here's your portion, you don't want to slow down your eating, that's fine, you want to eat in your pace, that's fine, here's your portion, you go elsewhere. Alright, Adkan. That ends that section of the Gemara. The answer could not be any clearer. The Gemara did have a discussion, but the conclusion is very clear. We have a right to say to him, you take your Karban Pesach, even you eat at whatever rate you want, but you cannot take away from our Karban Pesach. The Gemara has a different version of this whole discussion, and according to the second version, this was never even on the table for discussion. Meaning we know what the answer is. The answer is, nobody can diminish our eating of the Karban Pesach. Rather, what was the question? So, Elahachu de Baila Menechab, or Rishon Lechalik, Inami, I'm sorry, O Einan Rishon Lechalik. The question is as follows. Can we separate? Meaning, we're supposed to be eating Karban Pesach together. Do we have the right to separate and eat it in different locations? So, or perhaps no. Meaning the fact that we register together over Karban Pesach by definition means that we're going to be eating together. So so the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the Tosefta, which we just quoted, where the Tosefta says that if one person is eating at a rate which is just too fast and he's going to be diminishing from our Karban Pesach, so we could say to him, say. Now what is that Brisa telling us? There has to be a legitimate reason why we're excusing him from the group. It cannot just simply be, hey, you go eat there. But there has to be a legitimate reason. So Yafos en yadav Yafos lo shmamina. So the Gemara says that you see from here that only with justification, only with a legitimate reason, can we basically ask somebody to eat elsewhere. Otherwise, all the members of the Chabura, when joining the Chabura, the assumption is we're all going to be eating together. Rav Papa and Rav Huna had a communal meal. They were eating bread together. By the time it took Rav Huna and Rav Yeshua to eat one, Rav Papa was able to eat four loaves of bread. So you talk about a high rate of consumption. You talk about having a good appetite. God bless Rav Papa. Rav Papa knew how to eat. And so therefore, he ate four times faster than Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yehoshua. So Amarle Plagli. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yehoshua now is going to make the argument of, this is not going to work. You're eating way too fast. For every one I eat, you're going to eat four. It's simply not fair. How about this? We're separating. Where you'll take your portion, I'll take my portion. We cannot eat together. So Amar Leika built in. So Rav Papa's counter-argument is, look, you accepted me, meaning we agreed to having this communal meal. We agreed to sit together. You took me for what I am. This is what I am. I'm Rav Papa, and I enjoy eating. So now Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa are going to be having this halachic discussion that we just had, meaning they quoted the Mishnah Pesachim, they quoted the other Mishnah Pesachim, and they're literally going back and forth now over one another, over whether or not Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua really has the right to tell Rav Papa, hey, look, you got it, we have to separate.
It's not a common
Pesach,
that's a separate.
Oh, Eisvei Bnei Chabura, Amalei, Hasan Darmalei, Ki Kabinach, Letkun Ezvicha. So, Ben, perfect, spot on. So now he asked about the price of Karban Pesach, to which Rav Papa's response was, that's carbon. That's a mitzvah to eat. That's different. And finally, Eisvei Sibolas. Then he asked him the question of Sibolas. That was the second part of the Tosefta that we just saw in the middle of this Amud. And the case of Sibolas was just talking about Safsav Alma. It was just talking about a social gathering. People are getting together, having a communal meal for no other reason than just simply we enjoy each other's company. And still, that Tosefta taught us that if one person is eating at an accelerated rate, we can divide the meal. So then they divide the meal, because once you hear the Tosefta on Sibolas, you realize that this halacha is not just limited to Karban Pesach, but it would be true under even a social circumstance as well. The story gets better. Gets better. So now Rav Papa goes and sits by, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua now goes sits by Ravina. So Ada Acha Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Chada Acha Ravina Tamnaya. And so now his ratio with Rav Papa was 1 to 4. For every one loaf of bread that he ate, Rav Papa ate 4 loaves of bread. So, but now as he sits down together and has a communal meal together with Ravina, so now for every one loaf of bread that he ate, Ravina was able to eat 8. He ate 8. Huh? Okay, good. So Rav Papa was a freshman, but Ravina, even better. So Amar, so he says now, in other words, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, lamenting his current situation, and he says, may a puppy, velochada Ravina, I'll take 100 Rav Papas rather than 1 Ravina. Now, for those of you who are mathematically inclined and are sensitive to numbers, so you realize that over here he's speaking really in hyperbole, because it's not, in other words, no, I don't want 100 Rav Papas versus 1 Ravina. I mean, in other words, he only ate twice as fast as Rav Papa. Rav Papa ate at a rate of 4 to 1, and Ravina ate at a rate of 8 to 1. So no, not 100 Rav Papas versus 1 Ravina, but just simply the point of, man, I thought I had it bad with Rav Papa. Now maybe I'm sitting and eating with you. Now I realize it was good back then. My meals with Rav Papa, those were the good old days. Now, oh my gosh. No, these are Amoraim. These are Amoraim. So, it's an enjoyable digression from our discussion. And now we get to the nuts and bolts of minui, of registration. I mentioned this before. We'll start the topic now, but we're not going to finish it. We mentioned minui before on a number of occasions, and I mentioned before this is a money transaction. Meaning when you register yourself over Karban Pesach, it's not just it's simply coming along and saying, hi, I'm here, I want to register, okay, here, what do I sign? No. Meanwhile, the part of registration is that you have to give money. Meaning as a registrant, you come and you say, I'm registering and here's my registration fee. And so basically what we're going to be discussing from today until the end of the daf, although we won't get there today, we'll continue over Yontav, is a very basic question. There's a fee for registration. Someone obviously is collecting that fee. Let's call that person the owner of the Karban Pesach. Although that term, owner of a Karban Pesach, is a little misleading, but we're going to use that term. So everyone's giving money to the owner of the Karban Pesach. as part of the registration fee. So the question that we're going to be dealing with is such a simple question. Whose money is that? That money has kedusha, does not have kedusha? Can he do whatever he wants with that money? Meaning, simply put, that money is kadosh, it's chol. What's the story with that money? That's what we're going to be discussing for the rest of I'd say the daf. That's not true, but from here until the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Amud Aleph. Okay, so we start with a brisa. The discussion starts with a brisa. We're on the very bottom of Pei Tesam and Beis Hamemman. It's the seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Hamemman Achirim Al Pischav Achag Yigaso. So he has people now registering, which means that they're paying a fee over the Karban Pesach, over the Chagiga, Moshe B'yadu Chulin. So the money in his hand is Chulin. It does not have Kedusha. HaMocher Olaso V'Shlamav Lo Asav Lo Klam. You sell a Karban Ola. You sell Karban Shlamim, so that just simply does not register as a sale at all. Umaos Kol Shehe. Now, as far as the money is concerned, Yiplu L'Nedava. That goes to Nedava. Those of us who's been around long enough with the Daf, you know what's Nedava. Nedava is that pushkas, they had like chests in the Beis HaMikdash, 13 of them in total, of which the last 7 of them, if I remember correctly, was what's called Nedava. You put money in the pushka, and that money is used to buy olos for the Beis HaMikdash. And when would the Beis HaMikdash buy these olos? That's right, slow season. Right, it's what we call Keitz HaMizbeach. Keitz HaMizbeach. It was used during the slow season in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the money that was charged is Yiplu Nadava goes into the Pushka. So the Gemara says, but that last part I just didn't get. This is now the Gemara commenting on the Braisa. The Adkan Divrei HaBraisa. V'chimi Acher Dolos of Alok Lamaos Amai Yiplu Nadava. The Gemara just now has a simple question. I understand, when you sell your Ola, that's not a sale. It's not yours to sell. It's not your ola. It is a carbon ola. So the money then goes to Nadava when the money is infused with Kedusha. I understand there was no transaction. And so how do you understand that? So I'm a Rava Kanasa. So Rava says it's very easy to understand. That's a Kanasa, meaning it's a penalty. Meaning there is no sale of a carbon ola. It's not yours to sell. The carbon ola belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the fact that you attempted to sell the Karban Ola or Karban Shlamim, that was totally inappropriate. The rabbi stepped in, the rabbis penalized you. That money that you gained from the sale, although we'll put the word sale in quotes, but that money that you gained from the sale is going to be earmarked now as Maus Kedusha. The money has sanctity, and the money therefore has to go to the Nedava. So Umay Kol Shehein, and what does the Brisa mean when it says Kol Shehein Havagav Delo Havu Shavu Ela Arbavi Avolei Chamisha Afila Ba'yisei Renami Kansu Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, and the point is over here is as follows. Let's say the Ola was worth, let's say, 4 zuz, and the transaction was for 5. I got 5 out of it. So maybe now I can make the argument, look, I know what I did was wrong. It's an ola. I shouldn't have sold it. Yeah, I get it. And yes, I understand I'm going to be penalized. And the 4 zuz that the carbon is worth is not going to go to the nedava. It's going to go to the pushka. But let me keep that one last one, because the carbon was only worth 4. So can't we just argue that 5th zuz that I sold it for, at least I should be able to keep that 5th zuz? So the point of the brace is that no. In an attempt to sell an ola and a shlamim, you, by right, should not have done that. And therefore, you're going to get penalized, and that penalty is going to go on all money earned from that quote-unquote sale. All money is going to go to the nedava.
That's the penalty instead of 25% more.
That's when you're mal behektish. That's when you misappropriate hektish. Here, you didn't misappropriate hektish, meaning nothing happened to the carbon. Carbon to carbon. But you attempted to sell the carbon, not to redeem the carbon. In other words, I assume that the buyer understood that he wasn't redeeming the carbon; he was just transferring the carbon from one person to another. Okay. However this worked. The point being is that you shouldn't have tried that. You shouldn't have attempted to sell it. Money's all going to go to Nadava.
In terms of carbon pesach, how is that different? When you go to buy a sheep or shlam,
okay,
the money you give to the shepherd or shlam, that's not a hektish money.
Okay, so Excellent. I mean, you're bringing us now to the next point. Good. So basically what we did is we just answered up the last part of the Braisa, and now from this point forward, for the rest of the daf now, we want to address the first part of the Braisa. Meaning, now we want to talk about that registration fee. You're collecting a registration fee? So the question is very simple. What do we do with that money? So the Braisa couldn't be any clearer. The Braisa says, Moshe b'yado chulin. The money in your hand is chulin. Okay. So here's what we'll do. We'll stop over here. I know we're behind. Over the course of Yom Tov, we'll catch up. Tomorrow, we'll start with a very basic discussion. How come that registration fee is viewed as chulin? We'll learn together tomorrow the shitas of Rebbe versus Rebbe Yoshia, two different ways to understand Rebbe. Okay, much to discuss tomorrow. We have our work cut out for us over the course of Yom Tov, and being that it's a 3-day Yom Tov, we'll put some extra learning in. And we'll be able to, God willing, catch up to where we should be.